This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning, horse people. This is Coach Jen from Ocala, Florida, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for October 16th, 2012, episode 505. Horses in the Morning is live Monday and Wednesday and Friday, so today we bring you a highlight podcast from the Horse Radio Network. Sit back and enjoy episode 127 of the Western Radio Show as Alan and Tammy are joined by trainer, coach, author, and clinician Barbara Schulte. Horses in the Morning will be back live tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Eastern, replete with riotous reports regarding all things equine. And born on this day in 1758, Noah Webster Jr., father of American scholarship and education, editor of the Federalist Party newspaper, and author of the first American-authored schoolbook for children, A Grammatical Institute of the English Language. But we all know him best as the Dictionary Guy. Enjoy the show!
This is Alan Moorhead.
And I'm Tammy Schrantz, and this is the Western Radio Show on the Horse Radio Network.
It's getting towards the end of the year, Tammy, and it's almost NFR time, and it's getting close to awards time, and some awards have already been earned. And it's the Western Radio Show, so it's about the horse, isn't it?
All about the horse.
The AQHA and the PRCA, Professional Rodeo Cowboys Association, Horses of the Years have been named for 2012.
And, oh, cool.
Three first-timers. And the first-timer I'm going to talk about with the Horse of the Year, it even kind of surprised me, and this is a stat that I've kind of watched over the last couple of years, and because I really loved the horse. But Trevor Brazil, the 16-time world champion, who is going to be beating Jim Shoulders this year for the number of world titles, he won his first Horse of the Year award. It's a head horse, Light My Dynamite. They call him Sick'em.
That's just cool.
I love the barn names of these horses, but congratulations to Trevor. It's the first Horse of the Year for Sick'em, Light My Dynamite, head horse of the year. The team roping, Trevor Brazil, 16-time world champion. Jade Corkle, he's got the healing horse of the year, and this is the second time in 3 years that Fine Snip of Doc called Caveman. Catch 'em steer.
They have some really cool names.
I like Caveman. That works.
Yeah.
That'd be a good name for a bucking bull, too.
Yeah, it would be.
Good, because I had one send me to a cave this year.
Doesn't sound very scary, though.
Yeah, I guess.
Anyway.
Well, you'll like this one. This horse has won the tie-down roping horse of the year for the last 3 years. Belongs to Clint Cooper from out there in Texas, Roy Cooper's son. Sweetness is his barn name. They call him 80s Sport on the papers. Third consecutive.
Sweetness.
Sweetness. You gotta like that one.
That sounds like a little gated mountain horse or something. Sweetness. That's adorable.
Steer wrestling horse of the year is Dylan's Dash. They call him Dylan, and this is his first horse of the year. And Les Shepherdson, the steer wrestler, owns and rides this horse, going to his second NFR because of having a great horse like Dylan's Dash. Congratulations in the steer roping to Chance Kelton. It was White Hot Ike, also known as Bullseye, winning the steer roping horse of the year. And over in the barrel racing, Mary Walker and Percolating, also known as Latte.
Wow. If you want a cool named horse, make it a rodeo horse. Look at all those cool names.
Bullseye, Dylan. Sweetness, Caveman, Sick'em, and Latte. That would be the AQHA WPRA Horse of the Year. Congratulations to all these competitors. It's closing in, and next week I'll start talking about some standings and who stands to win some world titles and that. But for many years, Jim Shoulders, the Cowboys' cowboy with 16 overall world titles, has kind of led that game, and Trevor Brazil ready to step over that for 2012.
Wow.
Record breaker. Sick'em. He gonna sick'em.
Talked about sweetness. Yeah. I know who's sweet. That's our guest today, Alan.
Yeah. Who is it?
Barbara Schulte.
Oh, we're going to Barbara again.
Hey. I hate to play favorites, but one of my favorite guests. Because she's so sweet.
You know what? We need to change. Instead of sweetness, we can just call her smartness. Because, I mean, she just speaks with so much intelligence.
Yeah, maybe she'll have some words to help you focus.
And unlike myself, every word she says makes sense.
Absolutely. So let's just bring her on.
And we'll do that. We'll go to Barbara Schulte to talk about gaining confidence over your competition. That'll be right after this from Karen with a bit of nutritional advice from Kentucky Performance Products.
Hi, Glenn the Geek here from the Horse Radio Network, and I'm here with Karen from Kentucky Performance Products with a sensible supplementing tip of the week. Karen, this week we're talking about senior horses, and actually this is a two-parter. We're going to talk about senior horses this week that cannot keep weight on, have trouble maintaining weight, and next week we're going to talk about the ones who don't have any trouble keeping weight on. That'd be like me. I don't have any trouble with that at all. So what are we? Why do horses, especially seniors, have trouble maintaining weight?
Well, senior horses are horses that are, 18 years of age or older, and that may change after a while because, we're doing such a good job of keeping our horses healthy these days, but they're just living longer and longer all the time. It used to be you never heard about a 30-year-old horse, and now it's becoming the norm. So it's really important that, we have some ways to keep these horses going and as they get older so that they don't have to just all turn into pasture ornaments. One of the big problems with an older horse that may be losing weight is they have a reduced ability to absorb nutrients from the diet. And that can be caused from, a lifetime of exposure to parasites or just any kind of damaging event to the gastrointestinal tract. And even with the stringent deworming schedules and things we have, there usually still is some damage from parasites. So that's something that may cause a horse to stop losing weight. But also sometimes they'll have less of an appetite, so you need to keep their appetite stimulated. The first thing I want to say is if you have a horse that's losing weight, the first thing you need to do is get your vet involved and get your horse completely checked out, make sure there isn't some underlying problem for them that could be fixed medically. And also you should have a dentist come and check your horse's teeth. We talk to a lot of people on the phone, and most people are really aware of having an equine dentist routinely, but there are some people that have never thought about it. So it's important to get their teeth checked. Sometimes if you have a horse that's losing weight, it's just because they can't chew well enough, and if you get your equine dentist in and they fix those hooks and flatten out any spots where the teeth aren't coming together properly, that will solve your problem.
Okay.
So those are two of the main things you should look at right away, even before you start thinking about supplements. The second thing that you need to do is make sure that your horse is getting enough high-quality fiber. And again, a lot of people, don't understand that a horse needs 1.5 to 2% of their body weight a day in hay. And 1% of that should be in some kind of long-stemmed fiber, either hay or pasture. So if you have a 1,000-pound horse, that's 20 pounds of hay. So 10 pounds of that could be in grass, and 10 pounds of that could be in hay. It wouldn't be 10 pounds in grass. It would be 10 pounds of grass equivalent of dry matter. So that would be a lot of grass. That would be, half a day of grazing on a really good pasture. But you want to be sure that they have plenty of good fiber. That keeps their digestive tract healthy, and it keeps the microorganisms in their digestive tract healthy. And if the digestive tract tissues and microorganisms are healthy, then the horse will be able to absorb the maximum amount from their diet. So something that we always suggest for older horses, besides a hay and some kind of a concentrate, a good senior feed fed at the recommended level would be appropriate, and, of course, electrolytes for senior horses. The other thing that you can do if you have a horse that's losing weight and you've had it checked and you know there's nothing medically wrong is to feed it a high-fat supplement. It has a lot more energy in it than your typical cereal grains, almost 2 times as much, so that you can feed less in a meal and get more energy out of it, which is what you want to do when you have a horse that's hard to keep weight on. You certainly don't want to throw so much grain at him that grain causes grain overload, which can be very damaging to the hindgut and can cause colic and laminitis. So a high-fat product will allow you to feed less so you can keep your meals smaller, and it has more calories per pound so that you can get more energy into your horse.
For example, Karen, what products would we be looking at?
Well, we have two different products that we have as high-fat products. One is Equijoule, which is a high-fat stabilized rice bran. And something that you want to think about when you're looking at a fat supplement is you want to turn around and look at the guaranteed analysis and see how much fat is offered in that product. The Equijoule product is 20% fat, and you have to feed 1 to 2 pounds a day is the recommended dose. It's a rice bran that is balanced for calcium and phosphorus, and rice bran typically is high in phosphorus, and so you wouldn't want to feed it unless there was some kind of a calcium source added to it that balances that calcium and phosphorus ratio so that you don't have any mineral imbalances with it. So that's one that you can feed. That would be for a horse that you just, you know, he was kind of a hard keeper. You wanted to reduce the amount of grain, and you wanted to give him just a nice fat supplement to add some extra energy. We have another product called Endure Extra. Now, this product is 50% fat.
Oh, wow.
And you only have to feed 8 ounces a day. So this product is for your real picky eaters, for horses that, you know, you really need to put the weight on them. This product has a lot of energy in it. It also has some added flax, so you're getting some omega-3s in there, and it also has 1,000 IUs of natural vitamin E, which is very important for horses that are stressed because it helps the immune system. And we put some probiotics in there as well that will, again, help the digestive tract to process the feed better. So if you have a horse that you're really having a lot of trouble with that's very skinny, or that you're working really hard, or a much older horse that's stressed due to illness, this product is a really nice product for that.
So the two products with Kentucky Performance Products are Equijoule and Endure Extra. If you're looking to put weight on your seniors, they're having trouble to keeping weight on, that's one way to do it. You can find all of Kentucky Performance Products at kppusa.com, and they have an excellent article over there, too, called Choosing Supplements for Senior Horses That Have Trouble Maintaining Weight. Next week, we'll be back talking about the ones who don't have any trouble maintaining weight, and they're going into their senior years and maybe are getting a little too chunky. So we'll talk about those next week.
And we're certainly proud to have Kentucky Performance Products with us. Karen's always got some great tips about how to feed your horse and keep that nutrition to where they're going to perform to the best of their ability. And Tammy, like we talked about a few moments ago, you talk about having a horse to perform to the best of their ability. We've got back with us, and she was with us on show number 57. So just go back there, and you can find out more about the personality of Barbara Schulte. But today we're going to get into the working of Barbara Schulte and what it takes to perform with confidence. And some great news that we haven't talked about yet. Coming up October 20th.
You're just going to spoil the surprise at the very beginning, Al.
It might be the only thing I get to say today. Girls are going to get started on this thing now.
And, okay, go ahead.
it's congratulations to Barbara Schulte, a class of 2012 inductee to the National Cowgirl Hall of Fame, a beautiful building with a great background in Fort Worth, Texas, right across from the Will Rogers Memorial Equestrian Center. October 25th, Barbara Schulte inducted into the National Cowgirl Hall of Fame. Congratulations, Barbara, and welcome to the Western Radio Show. Now, I won't get to say
Thank
nothing the rest
you.
Of the show.
Yes, you
Thanks,
will.
Thanks, Alan.
Yes. Oh, thank you, Alan. I am so excited to be here. I'm delighted to be here. And thank you for talking about that. I'm thrilled. It's coming up 2 weeks.
So you have to tell us the exciting part of how you were secretly nominated, because I think that's so sweet.
And it's not even February. It's not even like Valentine's Day. This is a Valentine's Day. We're going to have you back in February to tell us this again for Valentine's Day.
This is some serious honey points here.
Well, my husband thought that I should be nominated, but he thought that I was nominated. So if I received it, that I would be surprised. So behind my back, he gathered photographs, and he asked my office assistant to gather up like my books and get my bio together. And he personally called different people to make recommendations for me. And he's the guy that did it. And the Cowgirl Museum called me and told me, and I just, it had knocked me over. So he, I couldn't be mad at him for anything that day.
He's getting one seriously good Christmas present.
Yeah, he's a great guy, and he's always doing those really kind little things on the sly. So.
And which, for those of us who have read some of your books, and for those of us who have had the pleasure and honor to watch you riding horses in the cutting horse pen and winning championships. I've watched you many times here in Augusta, Georgia, to Augusta Futurity. And with the talent that you have, and I know that you are a very, very humble, down-to-earth lady, and with the class that is inducted this year, how does it make you feel? And mention some of the names that you're being inducted into this Hall of Fame with. And I mean, this is a Hall of Fame that has a lot of the great ones in it, and you are one of the great ones.
Yes. Well, thank you. Well, first of all, I have a hard time finding the words to express my appreciation and how I feel so elated and thrilled and honored. And this year's inductees are Stacy Westfall, mm-hmm. who is a friend of mine and who we have done some things professionally with. In fact, I do an interview series called Insights, and she was one of the people that I had with me there. So I love Stacy and have so much respect for her. And then Sonny Hale, who is a just killer knockout woman in polo, has set all kinds of world records. And then Miss Mildred Ferris, who is well-known in the rodeo circles and barrel racing and rodeo secretarying. And Ellen, I think you know all about Mildred as well. So, you know, there's just a whole legacy of women. And when I went to the Cowgirl Museum after they let me know and walked around, I was just, oh, I was just in awe. And so I'm very appreciative.
That's awesome. You're in wonderful company there, and definitely a extremely worthy recipient. So
thank you, Tammy. Thank you.
What an honor.
Thank you.
That's great stuff when that happens.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
So today on the show, we brought you on because we wanted to kind of talk about something that a lot of women predominantly have, and it's not because of pregnancy or it's not because of an accident they've had or something that they've had happen with them on a horse, but a lot of people, they want to know, how do I ride with more confidence, or how do I get over something that's happened to me, or how do I set myself up for success with my horse more? And that's a lot of things that your books and your DVDs deal with. So we really just wanted to have you on so you can give us a couple of a real rough overview of how we can set ourselves up for success with our horse.
Now, are those feelings limited just to the female riders? Can't guys have a confidence problem too?
Guys can have a confidence problem too, Ellen.
Just wondering. I mean, you know, you said for all the girls out there, and I mean, you know, it's...
It's a girl and a guy thing. I think it's both. I think, you know, especially for guys, I think guys are stereotypically supposed to be not have fear. So maybe it's harder for the guys, Ellen.
Yeah. Well, we don't like to admit nothing. Like, if we're lost, you know... We're not going to stop and ask
directions. Oh, don't even tell me about lost. Okay. Yes.
You know, so we're not going to stop and ask for help. But what is the demographic, or do you even know, or do they keep up with a stat like that on who's purchasing your books? And is it more girls? Is it more guys? And who do you deal with more personally? But before we get into this, just to kind of have a schematic of what we're looking at.
Mm-hmm. Well, in the horse world in general, the schematic is 80% women, 80% plus women,
right.
And that goes across the board. you know, it doesn't matter the discipline or the culture. By culture, I mean whether it's like rodeo or quarter horses or mm-hmm. pain horses or, you know, English. And so by the nature of that, the people that I would be dealing with, you know, it would be more women. But I think really that fear is a human thing. And it comes in all different shapes and sizes. It can be, like Tammy mentioned, overcoming fear after an accident. It could be, you know, being fearful about the competitive arena. It can be fearful about not measuring up. It can be, you know, just anxiety. It just can be a lot of different things. And it's actually one of my very favorite things to talk about because it is a human emotion that we all experience, and we may or may not discuss it with other people, or we may or may not feel that, you know, there's even anything that we can do about it. And we just kind of live with this lack of comfort, mm-hmm. anything from lack of comfort to terror on the inside. And, so you want me just to start reacting, or do you want?
Is the first thing really kind of working out what drives that? Is that the first thing you would do to work out overcoming that fear?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I do private consulting sometimes, and so when people get in touch with me, I ask them, you know, what is it that is your fear, or what is it, you know, that you're wanting to overcome? So we work at it. You know, directly in that way. And I have a real strong bias that I would just like to share with everyone because I think that it's so important. And that is that sometimes things just, when it comes to accidents, for example, sometimes things just happen. Like the other day, I just got my boot caught through the bull wire of a gate, mm-hmm. you know, a gate made of bull wire. And it was like all the way through to my spur to my leg. And I was on a brand new horse, had never ridden him before. And I could not get my foot out and I could not get my boot off. And I'm thinking, this is really, this is not good. You know, that I knew to stay calm on the inside. But finally, you know, I just found an angle to move my foot where I got my foot out. But that would be an example to me of something that just kind of would happen. Whereas sometimes people did for their horse, or, you know, they're not really aware of equipment, and they, you know, they get themselves in situations that are really not safety first kind of situation. And so I have a real strong bias about just making sure that you do everything that you can for things that are under your control, because there are plenty of things that are not under your control. And so that's just a little soapbox thing that I feel real strongly about. But beyond that, I think that, to give everyone a little background, I had the good fortune to be trained at a sports science center in Orlando, Florida. It's mm-hmm. now called the Human Performance Institute. And that training occurred between 1998 and 2002 in that area, in that time. And I was certified as a personal performance coach by a man and a team of people who train professional and Olympic athletes to perform under pressure, as well as now they do a lot of training with business executives. And the man who was my mentor is Dr. Jim Lehrer. And I'm going through this story because I just recently did an insights interview with him. And what's interesting is when I went to, it was then known as LGE, and was trained, there was a lot of emphasis on what's called the performer skills. And performer skills are things like they are things that you do in your mind and with your body that get you into a state of calmness and confidence so that you have the ability to do whatever it is that you know how to do very well, no matter what is happening around you or negative feelings that come up on the inside.
So is this a way to set up like a routine or does it become like your function?
Part of it.
Or what you do before you perform every time, you'll watch a bronc rider sometimes. There's still a few that do it, or a bull rider. You know, they go through this squat and step over and measure their reins or whatnot, take their wrap on their bull rope, right, slap their face, and then go. Is it a routine that you set yourself up to do?
Yeah, that's part of it. That's a big, 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 big part of it because those routines get you into that state.
Everything the same way every time.
Yes. Okay. And what is, and the routines are made up of things that you do with your mind and things that you do with your body. So while he is doing certain, like slapping, whatever, getting the reins, even whatever the physical movements, I would imagine that there are very, specific scripted things that he would be saying to himself, all getting him into a very focused, very calm, very laser-like, calm but energized state. And what they found is that ability to get into that state of emotion is trainable. So if people listening feel like their emotions kind of run wild with them, and by that I mean they feel nervous, they feel anxious, they feel fearful, you know, any of those kinds of feelings, the ability to get into a state of calmness and focus is merely a matter of learning the skills. And that is such, you know, even just saying that right now, that's so thrilling to me because we always think that perhaps certain people have this as a gift and that maybe we don't have it. Maybe we can bake great cookies, but we can't get it together when we go in the arena to ride our horse. And so that was a big part of my training, and it's great, 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 practical, very useful, very concrete stuff.
Would you be willing to share some of the ideas behind that and how to set up a performer's skills and your routine in that here?
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to do that in just a moment. Right now, we're going to take a break, and we're going to find out a little bit about one of our sponsors, Draper Therapies. They're back with thewesternradioshow.com, and we're going to be back with more from Barbara Schulte. She's going to tell you how to set up your routine for success. After this, from Kat at Draper Therapies.
Hi, Glenn here, founder of the Horse Radio Network, and I am with Kat from Draper Therapies. And Kat, you have a special offer for our Horse Radio Network and the Western Radio Show listeners.
Absolutely. We have a closeout on our Draper Equine Therapy Stable Blanket. And like all of the other Draper Therapies products, these are all therapeutic and made with Cellient. So they help increase circulation, reduce pain, help with recovery, and help get a better night's sleep. So your horse can absolutely benefit from all of these things, and they are clinically proven. So you can check us out at drapertherapies.com and look at any of the clinical studies. But what we're focusing on today is our stable blanket. And originally this was $225, and now we've knocked it way down to $100. And this is basically just a closeout. And what we're trying to promote with this is like it's like a fitted cooler. So it works really great now that the temperatures are starting to drop. So if you are trailing your horse to and from different locations, this works wonderully for your horse to get out less stiff, things like that. Or if you just have them after a bath, you know, if you still need to give them a bath this time of year as their coat's starting to grow in, this definitely can be something that you can throw over top of them, help wick away in the moisture, and then you can put the regular blankets on afterwards. So for the price,
it's not super heavy like a, you know, we think of heavy-duty stable blankets. This is more of a lightweight stable blanket.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, it definitely. It's made with wool, so it's going to be more of kind of like a cooler would be, but okay, it's just right. in a fitted form. So you can buckle it all up, and if you have to leave your horse in the stall for a few hours or things like that, then that's totally fine. We don't typically recommend this for overnight use. You can if you want to because it is fitted, but again, it's something that we recommend definitely before and after workout is a little bit heavier as the temperatures are starting to drop.
And I know a lot of the professional riders use this blanket right after they're done with their competitions, as you said, more as a cooler than a blanket, and it really works well for that, or trailering, that kind of thing.
Absolutely, yeah, and we're getting down kind of to the last of the sizes. So why we're kind of really promoting it to the Western market right now is that they do come in a lot of the smaller sizes that you find that your barrel horses, reining horses, things like that were going to be in. So it's definitely a good item for you guys to pick up, you know, as the temperatures are starting to get a little bit cooler.
And for $100, you can't beat it for a Draper Therapy blanket. You're not going to find that anywhere else. They have a couple of colors left and a lot of sizes. So you can find them all at drapertherapies.com. Now, will the sizes go off of here when they run out?
Yes, absolutely. And if you have any questions about something, go ahead, email us, call us. There was a live chat option, too, that I'm usually signed on to. So if you have any questions at all and you want to know about it before you place your order, just let us know. And if not, we'll try and do our best to make sure we can get you something at that deal.
Okay, Draper Equine Therapies. That's drapertherapies.com. But you just want to search for the Draper Equine Therapy Stable Blanket, and it's in the closeout, the clearance section, so you'll find it there.
And thanks to our friends from Drapers, and we're back with Barbara Schulte. And I think before the break, you said something that was really interesting that kind of stuck with me, Barbara, and that was the ability to focus is not a gift. And when you said that, I thought about my total inability to cook. And I always thought I wasn't gifted with that. But, you know, after some time and actually reading the instructions properly and focusing, I've realized that it's just a matter of following the directions. And I think what you said about focus is, you know, people would look sometimes at me with my shooting and think, you know, I'm not like you, or I can't focus like that, or I just don't have that in me. Not everything's a gift. And I think with enough hard work and enough want to, I think, you know, that's totally achievable. And I think that was a really good point. You know, some things is everything's not a gift, you know, with a little bit of work, it's there.
Yes. Well, and really, when you talk about fear, fear is an emotion. Mm-hmm. And emotions, while they seem to just pop up, you know, like, well, I just kind of feel however I feel, when I'm in a good mood or a bad mood or whatever, really, we as humans have the wonderful opportunity to direct ourselves into whatever emotion that we want through our thoughts and what we do with our bodies. So that means that we can go from a funky mood or from a feeling of fear to a feeling of calm and focus by what we do with our body and what we do with our minds. That is the essence of the performer skills. And with practice, they become rote, so that if you're in a situation, you're getting ready to compete, and you see someone drive up and think, oh man, you know, everything was great till I saw that person, or you start to think about the results, and if I don't do well, you know, I'm going to drop down in the standings, and become skilled. Recognizing that those thoughts do not serve you, that the only thing that you ever have control of is what you have control of, which is your mind and your body and what you do and how you think, and that the emotions of this conglomerate of emotions of being calm and focused, yet very energized, and this sense of passion and love and engagement in what you're doing, that is a trainable state and takes practice. So if people are listening and they're going, oh, that sounds good, you know, with a little breathing and my eyes up or whatever, and I'll go through some of those skills in a sec, that sounds good, I'm going to do that next time, but they don't really practice. They can't do it under pressure, or they can't do it in a fearful situation. So the performer skills to get to the emotion are what you do with your body, that's called acting, mm-hmm. and then what you do with your mind, and those are called thinking skills. And a few of the acting, which are the physical skills, are breathing. Breathing is probably the quickest, like, instant reset button.
It helps.
Because it does. and it's as simple as telling yourself to breathe. You don't have to take a big breath. You don't have to, like, inhale, exhale three times. You don't have to make it complicated. Just to breathe. And if you get anxious again in the next moment, tell yourself to breathe. And along with that, eyes up, chin up, shoulders back. You want to have the look of confidence, because our mind and our bodies and our emotions are completely intertwined. You can't do one thing without affecting the other. So just by having your eyes up and your shoulders up and your spine straight and breathing and focused, looking where you want to go, it's called eye control, like your eyes are choreographed. Just by doing those physical things, your body is, your heart rate is less, and you're not sweating in your palms as much. And because that acting like you feel confident will trigger the emotion. At the same time, you can add to that, I'm really going quickly here, but I just would like to share an overview. At the same time, by scripting your thoughts and becoming your own inner coach, to say, okay, Barb, I'm going to use myself as an example. Okay, Barb, next day, cool. Put your chin up, eyes up. Okay, now, which cattle are you going to cut? I'm a cutting horse rider. We haven't really mentioned that, but I show cutting horses. Put your, you know, eyes up, shoulders back. Okay, you want to cut the red baldy, the black mutt, the white cow. So I'm going through all the things in my mind that I have control over. And then I see in my mind myself walking forward towards the herd. I feel that sense of walking towards the herd and feeling really confident and very, very relaxed. And you just get into this state. So you are like just totally absorbed in what you're about to do. And that kind of a routine replaces the anxiety and the fear, because you can't get rid of fear. You can only replace it with what you want to happen. And so over time, when you practice these things, you can, when you get into that state, you can actually put your thumb and your forefinger together and condition it so that even when you might feel like you don't have time or whatever, mm-hmm. you touch your thumb and your forefinger together and you will immediately go there. And in fact, Stacey Westfall, we were talking about that earlier, yeah. when she did that video that went viral, she told me that she had heard a talk I gave, and that she conditioned that before she rode in on her black horse bareback. She put her thumb and her forefinger together, and anyway, that was really cool. So those are performer skills, and it's really fun to condition them, because they can save you. And by save you, I mean the real part of you might be wanting to go on this wild lack of productivity journey. Whereas all you really want to do is to connect to yourself, connect to your horse, and connect to the job that you are about to go do.
Now, for the amateur and non-pro rider, when you're talking about the performer skills, do you feel that maybe they need a refresher course sometimes, say, after they build their performer skills and they build their confidence with the horse, He's gone as far as he can go. Then it's time for a new horse. And they're maybe stepping it up a little bit to that next level horse, which is going to take a little more confidence that you have been building, but you might start second guessing yourself. Do you find people coming back to you for a refresher, or do they lose some of it, or can they just keep building on what they've learned from the first time?
Well, because what we're talking about is a skill, and it also, if it becomes important to people and they like it, it can be a way of life in general, but we'll keep it focused here on the horses. It's something that has to be practiced.
Right.
And like great tennis players will go to the Human Performance Institute and they'll learn these skills, and they'll go from like a 50 in the world ranking to in the top five. And then they'll think that, well, I've got this going, you know, my technical tennis skills as well as my mental skills. And then they don't practice, and then they fall down on them. So as much as I have talked about this and, you know, written about it and practiced it myself, I have to keep practicing. We all do. So to answer your question, absolutely, yes.
So it's totally possible for someone to be the absolutely most athletically talented rider or cowboy, cowgirl ever, but if they don't have their mental game in, it won't matter.
Exactly, and they have to do it every time.
That's what it is. I have no mental game.
You're so athletic, Ellen.
Some people are a mental case.
Yeah, that's me.
She can't help. It's now a show, Ellen. She can't help you.
Well, and I was going to ask her because, and I've never been diagnosed by a doctor or anything, but I find myself, and I'm a self-diagnosed ADHD. I've got a lot of hyperactivity. I have a hard time paying attention and focusing. Does that make having performance skills hard?
That's an interesting question. You know, I don't know, but I think it's just a matter of practicing.
Yeah.
and finding ways, they're called triggers, finding ways that elicit those. And perhaps you might have to practice a little more, but, I don't think it's an excuse. How's that?
Darn.
I don't think it's going to get you out of it.
I'm going to have to think.
Because that was the problem with cooking, Alan. I would just read the instruction, like, number one, and then just skip the rest and be like, yeah, I'll work it out. And now I focus. Read all the way to the end because you missed something.
And it was you making fun of me a while ago about not stopping and asking directions. Same thing in the cooking. Now off the air a few moments ago while we were having our commercial from Draper Therapies, you were mentioning that you wanted to bring in, and maybe as a closing thought in the next 5 minutes, we can go that far, about the why you're doing what you're doing and how that can make a difference in your setup for competition and that kind of a thing. Would you care to elaborate on that a little bit for our listeners at westernradioshow.com?
Yes, I actually, it's one of those things that's very dear to my heart, and I think it's critical, and that is that we all, to some degree or another, can have a fear on the inside that we're not good enough, that we're not doing enough, that we have to do one more thing, that we have to prove whatever, that this championship was great, but now I've got to do something else. And we put a lot of pressure on ourselves that is insatiable. Mm-hmm. And recently I did an insights interview with Dr. Jim Lehrer, who is my number one mentor, or who was my number one mentor when I was certified as a coach.
Right.
Just recently, and his work and a wonderful book called The Only Way to Win, the whole thing is about knowing why we do what we do and what is important to us about it. In other words, like when we compete, if we are what's called extrinsically motivated, which means we believe that
the championship is what matters. And so then we win the championship, and I mean, that's a wonderful thing. But then we feel, well, I better win another one, because some people might think, you know, the first one just was kind of lucky kind of thing. So then we think, well, then I got to win, you know, all over, or three in a row, or whatever. And what really matters is knowing that you understand why you do it. So if you love competition because it takes you on a journey of discovering yourself, and I don't want to be too esoteric here, but it makes you face to face with the fact that you love horses. You love the excitement of, you know, running barrels, or I love the excitement of, you know, a 2.5 minute cutting run, or Tammy does mountain shooting. You know, it's just like, it's just thrilling, and it just challenges yourself. You love the people, you love your horse. You're so grateful that you're there, that you have the finances, if you only go to one show, that you are there. And that's what it's about. Then at the end of a show, or at the end of a year, you have done something because it was for you, and it's what you have control of, not for the external, because ultimately the external is insatiable, and for some people can really be empty. It's like, well, now what? But when you connect to why you do things, and most of us do these things with horses because we love the animals, and also we all want to get better at something. You know, we want to get better. And being connected to that and really living that really sets you free from a lot of the fear that we have about not being good enough, or not doing enough, or supposedly we should be somebody else, or do things the way they do, or whatever it is. So that's a huge thing in the whole direction of the Human Performance Institute now. And if people are interested in knowing more about that, because it's very compelling, very heartfelt. Jim just released a book, Dr. Jim Lehrer, LOEHR, called The Only Way to Win. And it's just it's a wonderful book and a wonderful message. And so what you do is that you're connected to why you're doing it. You're giving it everything that you've got. You're kind of hell-bent for leather, having fun. You're going to kick in your performer skills. You're going to breathe. You're going to talk to yourself. You're going to be focused. You're going to be calm for the sake of that, and for the sake of whatever your reasons are. And then you have a rich experience every time.
That's a cool thought, too.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and one of the ways I look at it is, it works for me to help build the fire into me, and because it's not about which finals rodeos I work and where I get to go work and that kind of a thing. It's just that I get to go work rodeos, and I always look to duplicate my best performance, and I always look to be better than my last performance. And I saw a really cool saying the other day that kind of fits along with the lines of what you're saying. Is the only person that I have to be better than is the person I was yesterday. And it kind of relates into this performance as well. Is the only rider I have to be better than is the rider I was yesterday. I mean, are these thoughts that really translate into that as well?
Yes, absolutely, because that's all you have control over. And also that you know, and this is a big thing, that you really want to be
right
better the next day, because some people, you know, put so much pressure on themselves. I mean, some people love getting better and better and better, and just they're like crazy about that. While other people are kind of secretly exhausted with it, and their interests have changed.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't really matter about what anyone else thinks as much as you're being true to yourself. So it's for those of us, I'm one of those, that loves to get better, and I want to get better than I was before.
I now know and feel very free about it that I'm going for it, and hopefully when I go to the futurity, my performances measure up in the competitive arena. But if I have put every ounce of blood, sweat, and tears that I do because I love it into it, and I go mentally prepared and have my performer skills intact, then that's all that I can do. And if I visualize myself as a winner in terms of getting to the level of performance that it takes to win,
right,
and I go out there and put my effort into that, then again, that's all that I can do. And win, lose, or draw, I mean, obviously, this is going to be fun to win. But if I don't, I'm going to have this great satisfaction that the road I went on to do that was a rich one and is a rich one. And then I'll make my next decision about my next goal. Goals really point you in the direction of what your experience is going to be. The choice of what you want to experience in your life, the richness of it, and taking you to the next level, whatever that is, or the next place, is so personal. And nobody else can ever judge that, ever.
Well, you're never too old to dream, and there's no dream too big that you can't go reach. And you've given us a lot of insight into the way to do that. And certainly it's made a difference in somebody's eyes, because Barbara Schulte is now going to be in the National Cowgirl Hall of Fame October 25th.
Thank you.
Fireworks and a big party joining Stacy Westfall, Sonny Hale, the great polo player, and a good friend of mine, Miss Mildred Ferris. Man, I look forward to hearing more about that. I wish it was going to be a couple of weeks later. I got to go to Waco for a deal, and I'd love to stop in and watch the festivities and see everything.
I'd love to have you.
Barbara, thanks for sharing all these great positive thoughts with us, and I think it's going to get into Tammy's head, and it's going to make her a better cook.
I was just sitting here thinking, I got to go for a ride around the pasture and like process. I'm like that computer buffering sign, Alan. I'm processing it all.
Good. Well,
that's what they do in Australia. They process stuff. Yeah, we kind of process it here in the States. But
downloading, uploading. Yeah. I'm uploading.
Barbara Schulte, the website is www.barbaraschulte.com for more information. And there's a section in there for insights, world-renowned with Jim Laird, as she was talking about, and some of her horsemanship resources. Go back to some of the best in the business, Sherry Servey, Martha Josie, Craig Cameron is on that list as well. When you surround yourself with success, you're going to be successful. And great words of wisdom and how to be confident in your riding and utilize them, and you'll do well. Barbara, once again, we thank you for joining us at WesternRadioShow.com.
Thanks, Barbara.
Hey, it is my pleasure and my honor. Thank you for inviting me. I'm happy to come and visit with you guys anytime.
Good, because I was thinking somewhere along in there, in the way you were talking about doing some things, there's got to be something with some visualizations of a successful ride, a successful run or whatnot. Maybe something on that a little bit later on, because I've got some thoughts on how the Blue Angels of the Navy do their deal, and it's really cool and visualization works. But we certainly appreciate you joining us again. It was show number 57, episode 57. She was on with us before for an introduction to Barbara Schulte and about approaching your competition with confidence today. It's episode 127, and she's going to come back and do it again. She's done promised you we're not going to let you out of it. Tammy and I will be back with some more confident thoughts and closing this thing out for episode 127 right after this from our friends from Horse Radio Network.
Do you have a company in the horse world? Are you looking to get the word out about your products, services, or shows? At the Horse Radio Network, we understand our advertisers need to reach the equestrian consumer in the most efficient, cost-effective way possible. Internet radio shows like this one, also called podcasts, allow the flexibility and creativity to craft unique messages that stand out from the herd and reinforce your existing marketing and social media strategies. If you want to learn more about advertising on this show or any of our shows on the Horse Radio Network, contact our account manager, Lisa, at 847-790-4476. That's Lisa at 847-970-4476, or you can drop her an email at lisa@horseradionetwork.com. Our listeners are terrific, engaged, and avid horse people, the ones that you are looking for.
So I've got to start thinking right, and I've got to start putting all these things together to where it's, I don't know if I can think that much, but man, it's a lot of great positive information.
That, you know, I've already got the book wrote down on a sticky note on my computer monitor to buy. So I'm really interested in that, you know, how we work and how we tick and what makes us want to win, Alan, because I want to win more than anything, but why, you know, and that really interests me a lot. I'm an overthinker, so this is right up my alleyway.
Yeah. Well, and I once had a rodeo clown friend of mine, and he's really ADHD as well, and Dwayne Poteet from out there in West Texas, and he always told me, he says, you know, there's nobody out there that can validate you for what you do. You validate yourself through who you are and the way you represent yourself, and that's going to make you do your job just that much better. So,
exactly.
It's just really cool stuff and great support from a lot of folks. And Barbara Schultes has just always been an idealistic person to watch ride. She's got great talent, has always had great horses underneath her. And I guess now that she's approaching this thing from the cerebral side, that means from your brain side. for the blondes out there.
You weren't talking to me, were you, Alan?
I meant that in a good way. Yeah. You know, but really cool stuff, and proud to be able to share it with everybody at the Western Radio Show, westernradioshow.com. Be sure to listen next week. We're going to have another great show for you at westernradioshow.com.
Yep, and the show notes and links from today's show is at www.westernradioshow.com. And we'd love to hear your feedback. We have a contact link on the website, or you can Twitter at Horse Radio. You can email Alan at alan@horseradionetwork.com or tammy@horseradionetwork.com. And we're on Facebook. Alan Moorhead, Tammy Srantz, Western Radio Show.
Yeah, look us up. And again, thank you to our great sponsors, our friends at Kentucky Performance Products, Karen, we appreciate it. And Draper Therapies back with us. Kat, we appreciate it. With all you do, be sure to visit all the great shows at Horse Radio Network at www.horseradionetwork.com. Tammy, I feel confident.
I'm going to go ponder. I'm processing.
just don't forget to come in when it starts getting dark.
You know I will. I'm scared of the dark, remember?
And remember, folks, no matter how bad things may get or how bad things may look, the world looks better when you're pondering between the ears of your horse.